What's up, people? Welcome to the Eastern Lariat. I'm your host, Dylan Fox. Striga is out this week. He's on assignment, very busy, living his big-time lifestyle, superstar status. As we all know, anybody who knows Striga knows how he lives, how he does things. But this week, I had to do a show, and, you know, my back was against the wall. Usually, we've got people like Sandre, but we're doing Dramatic Dream Dragons now. And it's almost like an extension of the same show. And I felt like at this point, my back was against the wall. Noah just took place. They had a big show. New Japan had a big show. And something happened on that show that really struck me. And I felt like I was against the wall. And when you are against the wall, you go to family. You go to the ones you know you can trust. You go to the originals. And in this case, one of the original guests on the Eastern Lariat, at least with me and Striga, were hosting. Obviously, way, way back, there were a lot of guests on. But since we've been on, we've had a decent amount, but there's been one guest that's always stuck out to me. And he stuck out so much, I've also been on his show many, many times. And I will again, for sure. And I have to say, I missed him. It's been far, far too long. We've all had our ups and downs with pro wrestling, even in Japan, no matter how much we love it. But now, I had to say, hey, come on the show with me. Let's talk about Noah. Oh, you don't want to watch this New Japan show? That's okay. But stuff happened that I know there was one person on this planet I knew I had to talk to. I had to get his thoughts on. And, of course, that is the man from Canada, from Post Wrestling, W.H. Park. Welcome to the Eastern Lariat again. I missed you, man.
Oh, it's great to be here on the Eastern Lariat once again. And we're going to talk about a show emanating from one of my favorite cities in all of Japan, and that's Osaka. I used to live in Osaka, Dylan. You know, shout out Takoyaki and Okonomiyaki. Good stuff over there. I recommend going to Dotonbori to check out the food in that area. And yeah, Edion Arena. Love that place. Got great air conditioning, let me tell you.
And that's what counts most in Japan, because we know they have those, like, just hellish summer temperatures in Japan.
That's right. Like, I don't know the Fahrenheit, because I'm Canadian. We use Celsius here, but, like.
And everyone does, except for America, because government's stupid.
But, like, you know, Sumo Hall, I've been in the Sumo Hall in August for the G1 finals, and at times it felt like it was, like, 40 degrees Celsius up there. So
I know enough to know that is very hot.
But Osaka, Edion Arena, it might be like 35 degrees Celsius outside in July, and Osaka gets very, very hot in the summer, but you go inside and it's nice and cool. Then you sit down in your seat and it's nice and cool in there, and you can enjoy a 3-hour wrestling show where Tama Tonga decides to assault an old man in the crowd because he was yelling too loudly, and just enjoy that. You know, it's great. It's a great building.
And, you know, I know somebody from Osaka, actually, like a somewhat good friend of mine. You know, and she'll always tell me stuff like, first of all, what you said is totally true about the temperature there in the summer. But also, you know, in a wrestling sense, she always says that the crowd in Osaka is better than the one in Tokyo, just in terms of fire and passion and, like, rabidness, so to speak. Overall, do you agree with that?
I would say, like, Tokyo is probably the best New Japan crowd I've ever been among. Like, I don't know necessarily about, like, any other company. Like, I don't think the fans in Osaka for Pro Wrestling Noah or All Japan are necessarily more rabid than the fans in Korakuen Hall. Like, Korakuen Hall, you know, Tokyo just attracts like really hardcore nerdy fans, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Osaka is just, for whatever reason, it's just this massive New Japan town. Like, they fucking love, like, New Japan. They love wrestling there, but they love New Japan, I think, more than any other company in Japan.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And And I've always thought that, like, just from what I know, again, I mean, you might be able to correct me on this being there, but Tokyo is more like the big city, like the prim and proper clean-cut style. Even how they talk, if the dialect is much more, like, slang-based in Osaka than it is in Tokyo, right? And Tokyo's more, like, prim and proper.
Tokyo's New York City, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Osaka is more, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's California. It's not Los Angeles necessarily. It's not the equivalent of that. But it's more like going down to the south of the United States, I would say. In the sense, like, the dialect is different. It's called, you know, Osaka Ben or Kansai Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very different from, like, Tokyo Ben, like, the dialect you get from Tokyo is, like, what you probably hear in most video games and anime or TV shows that are imported from Japan that Western audiences see. So, you know, you that's probably the kind of dialect that's the standardized Japanese dialect that you're going to probably learn. But I don't know, like, every region of Japan has their own dialect. Like, I was in Shizuoka Prefecture for years, and, like,
yeah.
They have a different dialect from, you know, Nagoya, from Tokyo, from Osaka. Yeah, yeah. Everywhere is different, but yeah, Tokyo, I suppose, is the standardized place, because that's where most TV stations broadcast from.
I'll give you an example. You know, and when they, like, you know, there'll be a game that comes out of Japan first, and then 8 months later it'll come out in the West. And, for example, Persona 5, like, let's talk about it again. One of my favorite series, Persona. They had a character from Kyoto in Persona 5, and, like, everyone else would talk a certain way, and then when they got to her part, they were like, in fact, they make it part of her whole gimmick that she's trying to hide her Kyoto accent, and their way of translating it was to, like, give the Kyoto accent a very Southern American style, like, hillbilly style English, you know, like, very Southern country sounding. And they kind of, like, compared it to Kyoto's version, like a country sound in American. It's not exactly the same, because that's the thing. Japanese and English doesn't ever, like, translate 100%, right? You know, like, it never crosses over completely. Sometimes things will sound. That's why a lot of times when they try to translate stuff, they won't translate it word for word specific. They'll just, it's more like an idea of what they said to try and make it. You know, yeah. So they it's never perfect, but all of them are different, like you said. But yeah, Osaka, you know, she bragged about Osaka being the hottest crowd, like, when it came to that. If you see anyone with blue and orange hair in Osaka, say hi for me. Now, shout out to Natsuno. But, regardless of that, Osaka is a great crowd for wrestling historically, and Edion is a big building. Usually they have, a lot of the companies nowadays run number two in it, which is much smaller than the one that Noah ran for this show. They did 2,000 fans here. You know, you have to give them a decent amount there, 2,092, in fact, exactly. This is on Wrestle Universe, obviously. You want to watch it in Japanese. They got the English version, too, depending on what you want to watch here. And you, WH, I'm so thankful for you that you showed, if you really delivered when you, like I said, I called upon you. I knew you were the one I could count on most. You watched this whole show.
I did. I rarely watch entire shows if I'm not watching it live. I'm like, okay, this match has fucking Nosawa Rangai in it. I'm not watching that. This match has Yoshitatsu in it. I'm not watching that. This match has fucking, I don't know, who do I fucking hate in, like, El Phantasmo? I'm not watching that.
Wow, it's like listening to a mirror version of myself right now on here. Like, because those are all the people I hate too, WH. That's why
Let me ask you a question. El Phantasmo, did he ever wrestle in Mexico?
I know that he is Canadian, not Mexican. I don't know if he ever actually wrestled there.
I might just go on to Cage Match and check if he's ever wrestled in Mexico. But yeah, if he hasn't, then he is, like, the greatest cultural appropriator in the history of wrestling. More than El Generico, even. At least you knew he was doing a gimmick, right? This man is neither a luchador, nor is he Mexican, yet he appropriates the lucha culture for his name. That is not cool with me.
It says no items available. It doesn't look like he's ever wrestled in Mexico. Actually,
He should not be called El Phantasmo, and ELP should be a gimmick based upon his love of, like, vinyl records. Then,
wow! Imagine if he did that.
It would fit more of this headbanger bullshit he does.
That's true. You know, so we have to think about that. But will it make him wrestle better, though?
No, very, very few things can make, you know, that happen, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing I care about most. They can call him whatever fucking name he wants.
I know people from his region of Canada, the West Coast, and they are like, I know at least three people from that area that are way better wrestlers and more enjoyable to watch than El Fantasmo.
Yes, I 1,000,000,000% don't doubt that at all. Although he had a run in New Japan. I don't know if you saw him in G1 over the summer, where he did get to kiss Peter once.
That's kind of disgusting to me.
Yeah, I know, right? But she eventually went back to Yujiro the night after.
Like, you could probably do something better with Peter personally than either Yujiro or El Fantasmo.
I was saying, like, look who he's compared against, Yujiro.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for her. I mean, I think in real life she probably just gets along with Yujiro, like, you know. Probably is grateful for the opportunity to be on wrestling shows because of, you know, because like, oh, you will pair, and like she, you know, of all the you know, the valets that they brought in for him, they settled on her and they were like, she got over. So there you go.
Yeah. And he had some acclaimed matches that people liked in the G1. So he must have felt some sort of pride in his work at some point.
Are we talking about Yujiro or?
No. He never had any critically acclaimed matches, but Fantasmo did. Unfortunately for Yujiro, I know you didn't watch the New Japan show last night. I'm going to bring it up a little bit in the future, but he was in a major, six-man titles match for the Never. Yujiro really doing big things right now with House of Torture. So some would say.
Yeah. On a side note, I don't know if Sho Tanaka's ever going to recover from being in this House of Torture shit.
I know. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
His partner got really over. His former partner, Yo, got it.
Everyone was saying it was going to be the other way around. Like, you know, Sho was going to be Shawn Michaels and Yo was going to be Marty Jannetty. Nah, it doesn't look like that right now. You would have to do some major, major rehabilitation with Sho Tanaka. First of all, you have to give him back his real name, Sho Tanaka.
Yes.
You have to get rid of, divest all this heel stuff that he's been doing.
Absolutely.
Send him away send him to the American Indies for a year and bring him back with a shooter gimmick.
Can we, I like your idea of sending him back. I like the idea of him going away. Can we send him to somewhere besides America?
No. He works like Ring of Honor for a year. Okay, and he just does a pure wrestling titles gimmick. He has a year long reign with that belt. He just wrestles like Lee Moriarty, Daniel Garcia, Brian Danielson.
Okay, now this sounds really good.
And then he comes back and he joins like Ren Narita and they form a tag team.
That sounds good too, although we're gonna have to see if he teams with Minoru Suzuki or Desperado in their new faction. Strong Style. The Desperado, Red Narita, and Suzuki faction.
See, they need a fourth member. Who better than a rehabilitated Sho Tanaka?
Yeah, exactly. Just bring it back. Like, bring the Sho we know and love back here. But one day that could happen. But what about all the things to fix in Noah? We're gonna talk about. Sure. Because there's plenty of complaints, I'm sure, of people that need to go away for a while in this company as well. And some of them maybe never come back. You know, there's no need to rehabilitate some people, I would say. But I know the one that – I think two of the ones I think we both would say keep him around maybe, but just not wrestle would be my thing. I mean, I have nothing against him personally, but the Funky Express, Yone and Saito here, that beating up on Ozawa and Okada. What do you think about Ozawa? Have you ever seen him before this show? Because he's like a brand new rookie.
No, not really. He's, you know, from this match, this is the opener of this, of the Great Voyage in Osaka.
Yes.
He's okay. He's just a young boy. He just does young boy things. There's nothing outstanding about him. Kenya Okada, though, I like him because he reminds me of Davey Richards. The way his body looks and the way he kicks people. It's like, man, this guy, I bet you if you went into his house, he's probably got like a ton of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla DVDs from the Davey Richards era.
And this was his return, too, from injury as well. And what a return he had in this opening match after he had, Nakajima hit him in the face and broke his jaw or something. It was in September. But he came back, and now he's teaming with Ozawa, the rookie, in the opening match. Like you said, Ozawa, I like him, though. I think that he's the kind of guy that they need more of because a lot of their rookie type of dudes are more like junior heavyweights, you know? And this guy's clearly got size to him. He's got a little bit of athletic ability, too. I think I'm not saying he's, like, pushing to the moon. Like, Anzai in All Japan, that's a guy you can clearly see being the next ace of the company, I feel like, when you watch him. And this guy, he feels like he's still at a very young point. I'm not trying to put judgment on him so fast. He's only been around for, like, a month or two. But he's a guy that you could see molded into something, like a major type of player in the future, I feel like, in the heavyweight division.
Yeah, if he doesn't get injured or decides to quit or decides he'd rather open up a ramen restaurant somewhere, you know. Sure. I don't really put, like, my eggs in the baskets of any, like, rookies these days.
Yeah,
it's just like, because you don't know what's going to happen to them, like, when they go on excursion or, you know, like 5 years down the line, they could be given a terrible gimmick. And you're just like, well, all that investment I put in them in their rookie years flushed down the toilet, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I wasn't offended by anything he did. Here's just young boy doing young boy things. I like Okada. I think there should be, like, some push for him up the card. I will say this about Saito and Yone, the Funky Express. They're fine in this role, like, as two seasoned veterans, you know, like, giving young guys, like, a chance to, like, develop in tag matches and, like, learn from guys who've been in the business for, like, 20-plus years, right? Like, you that's how you learn wrestling, right? It's like you being in the ring with veterans, and they guide you, and, like, oh, this is – they're doing this, and it's getting a reaction from the crowd. Okay, I got to remember that. I'm going to try to incorporate that in my future matches. Or this is – oh, they're really good at cutting off the ring. If I'm in a tag team, I got to learn how to cut off the ring and all this other shit, right? So I think as long as they're far, far, far away from the GAC Tag Team Championships – it's okay. They can be in the opening match. They can occupy that, you know, Rusev Kimura, Haruka Aigen, 90s All Japan, you know, spot. That's perfect for them.
Yeah. I always have a soft spot for Yone, battle arts bias maybe in effect. Saito, he's very cool to have because he actually speaks English on Twitter sometimes and talks to people on there, which is a very nice thing to say. I'm always reminded of a moment maybe 5-6 years ago. And even at that point, Saito used to be like a really good worker, like actually like in the old days. Like, maybe not, like, really good, but a good worker. Like,
he was a good, solid, like, guy for, like, Akiyama to team up with for the tag titles and the such, but...
Yeah, a power guy who hits hard. Like, that was his role. But at this point, like, 2017, 18, or whatever, you say he's probably past his prime at that point. Nothing against him.
And unfortunately, like, you know, the being the guy who was in the ring that caused Masao's death, I think really took a lot of wind out of his sails. Like, and understandably so. Like, the thing with Saito is, like, as far as I know, he still has his bar. He doesn't necessarily need wrestling for the majority of his income. I think if you turned him into a trainer, that would probably be a much better use of his skills instead of as on screen talent.
Yeah.
In the ring. So I don't know.
And the letter he got from Misawa to not feel guilty if anything happened was like a very emotional thing that they had. Hopefully gave him some kind of peace and all of that, because obviously like nobody would blame him realistically for anything like that. But I remembered a few years ago, and it just makes me laugh thinking about this now. Like I said, past his prime, he had a match with Sugira, like one-on-one. And it was surprisingly good because Sugira is amazing, obviously. But basically the match was they hit each other as hard as they could. And I remember watching it with my grandpa Ken, who likes Japanese wrestling, just wrestling in general sometimes. And he just looked at me after the match and says, they need to team up together. If they were a tag team, they'd be unstoppable together. And I always – that's one of my big wish for Saito is that one day he teams with Sugira and they can win the titles to prove him right, prove Ken right in there. But I don't know if that'll ever happen. And I also don't think they would be unstoppable as a team either if they teamed up. But
okay, if you had that version of Saito teaming with, you know, Sugiura, and they win the tag team titles, you know what? You know who I want to see them face then? A team we're going to talk about later on. I want to see them face Hideki Suzuki and Timothy Thatcher in a match.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that they face, I definitely agree with them. I thought you were going to say Daga and Chris Ridgeway, though. Because
No.
That's who we saw next. They took on the Kongo team of Tadasuke and Hajime Ohara.
Yeah, I hate Tadasuke. I still hate him.
You still hate him, even now.
I hated him when he was in the Rattels. And I probably don't hate him as much, but I still hate him. He's like one of my least favorite members of the Noah roster. Like, he is probably one of the most useless junior heavyweights I've ever seen in my life.
All right, well, we're just gonna stop right there because I have a major, major important question to ask you now. Now you've reconfirmed about your hatred of Tadasuke. Definitely his hair, I think we can all agree. But just him as a person, just him as a wrestler, maybe not even as a person, but just as a wrestler, who is really more useless in this company, Tadasuke or Hayata?
Hayata, I hate Hayata maybe more than I hate Tadasuke, but Hayata is popular with the women. Hayata draws women fans to Noah shows and makes them money. So I'm gonna say Tadasuke, because I'm pretty sure no one buys, like, he doesn't draw a single fan, male or female, to a show, and very few people. I bet if you compare the merchandise sales for, like, Hayata versus Tadasuke, Hayata's gonna win. You know what I mean? Like, I hate, like, Hayata, like, he's, like, I say this about Hayata, if he changed his gear, if he just stopped rolling up that fucking pant leg, okay, I would probably hate him
less.
Trying
to be like a gangbanger type of
guy. I do not know. Like, he looks like he's trying to be like one of Marky Mark's Funky Bunch. You know what I mean? Like, he's wearing vinyl baggy pants still. Like, it's 2023. It's not 2007, dude. Like, what the fuck are you still wearing that shit for? Why are we talking about Hayata right now? Like, let's talk about, like, we should talk about this match. Like,
yeah, let's talk about this match. It's a real important thing.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was there. I like Chris Widray's, like Assassin's Creed, entrance robe. You know, that's pretty cool. Is this Daga's debut? I haven't been watching too much Noah recently. I remember seeing him in like RED over in Dragon Gate. I guess ATEP brought him over.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he was in a match the last week, actually. They did this like wild, like long, big match where Stinger and Paris Del Mal all teamed together. Like Paris Del Mal de Apon. And it was like Nosawa was there, Ada was there, like Ogawa and Ridgeway were there, and Daga was there. So I think that's why they're kind of building off of this. And they faced a bunch of like the regular army people. I feel like Daga, because like you said, he was a Dragon Gate and was like, a guy that, had a good, foreign excursion, so to speak. He never really rose up to the top of the company or anything like that, but a fine undercard dude. In Noah, I think he was in the original Paris Del Mal in Mexico, which obviously makes him a candidate here. So I can see Nosawa, Eita, either one of those bringing him in, but here he was, and what a performance in this 5-minute match that we saw.
It's fine. It was a good second match on the card match. It was, it did its job. I mean, people are still filing in, I think, probably.
Yeah.
You know, during this match. So, I like it because I will say one thing I like is like, I like the type of foreign talent that Noah does bringing, like guys like Ridgeway and Daga and like, you know, Thatcher, Dr. Wagner Jr. Jack Morris, people like that. I think it's nice you have like this mix of like indie talent from like the United Kingdom, from Mexico, from the United States and Canada. Like it's a nice mix because it does make the company more interesting. And I don't like when they just bring in people from like, you know, like XWWE guys. Oh, that's all you bring in is XWWE guys into a company because you automatically feel like, you know, they're automatically going to get a push because you used to be in, they could have been like a mid-card dude in the fucking WWE, and they're still going to get a massive push in a Japanese company. Like, I like the fact that they're bring, like, when you bring in guys like Ninja Mac or something like that, right? Like, from the indies, It's like, well, they still got to prove themselves, right? And so, like, they're part, like, it feels like they're growing and they're actually a part of the company. It's like they're a young boy, like, coming out of the dojo system almost in some respects. When you have guys like, you know, Ridgeway and Dog, like, Ridgeway is like a new version of Zack Sabre Jr. when Zack Sabre Jr. was in teaming with Ogawa back in,
yeah,
you know, like, TMDDK days of Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah, I really like Ridgeway. Daga, he was a guy that had a ton of upside a few years ago. Probably more than a few, maybe 6 or 7 at this point. But then he disappeared for a few years, and I don't know what he was doing or what was going on in his life that made him want to stop wrestling. But he's been out of the game for a little while for the most part, only wrestling a few matches a year the last couple of years. And now it looks like with Zenoa, this is a chance for him to really prove something. Obviously, I mean, this wasn't much of a chance with, you know, 5 minutes with Tadasuke and O'Hara, but, you know, did you like that Tadasuke took the fall at least? Daga pinned Tadasuke.
How can you not like Tadasuke taking the fall? Of course I did. Yes, and I like the fact that Daga's finisher is like a top rope code breaker, which then we saw someone else use later in this
yeah.
show, and it didn't beat the person. Like, some quality control, people. If someone has a move that's a finisher, do not let someone else use it for a near fall.
Yeah, you'd think that would be super basic, but, you know, maybe there's some quality control issues. I think even Noah fans maybe would admit that, but, you know, Tadasuke, he's not, in my opinion, he's not that bad of a worker. Like, he's a good power junior, you know.
Does he remind you of Kota Fuyuki? Because that's who he bases his offense off of.
Yeah, base it off of him and also name all of his moves after, like, 2000s hip-hop guys for some reason.
But he's a rock star. How can he be naming moves after from hip-hop songs?
Yeah, he's got, like, the Outcast. I think the Tupac was one of his moves names. So, you know, I mean, he at least has good taste in hip-hop music.
Yeah, but someone of his level should not be using legends of hip-hop for his lame-ass moves.
And his rock star appearance, you think, would not beget that, but whatever. Like, he's all right.
Dylan, this guy's ring jacket, for the most part, is okay. And then you look at the back, and there's some goofy graphic on it, and it's like, no rock star would wear a goofy-ass-looking graphic on the back of their motorcycle jacket with fringes on it. Come on, what are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, you may be onto something. The look, I'm not defending the look. I'm just saying his work is not bad. Is all. You know, there's worse. I would take him over Hayata. I will say this. And his rolled up leg sleeve.
I just can't stand this guy. regardless, like, you probably are right. Like, his wearing work is probably better than Hayata. And I can't stand Hayata either, but I cannot look at this guy and take him seriously. I'm just sorry. I will never get over that hurdle.
Well, there's going to be more guys we can't stand to talk about later on the show. But right now we have people that we like, which there was a lot of in the next match. It was Kazuyuki Fujita. Okay, we're 1-0-1. But then we have Hideki Suzuki and Timothy Thatcher. They all team together to take on Masato Tanaka, Masaki Mochizuki, and Yoshiki Inamura. This was like, you know, an M's Alliance, but except for Inamura. He doesn't count. But he's with them anyway. And, of course, he took the fall in this match on the team, as he always does in all of his matches, unfortunately.
Why? Why is he still taking the fall in these matches? Like, he's the guy, like, you should have been, like, you should, like, if I know, I'm like, okay, he's getting the Morishima push. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he should not be losing, like, as many matches as he does, I feel. Also, can I just say about his look? It looks like he got dropped in the middle. Like, he was rolled around, like, his gear was rolled around in, like, glue and dropped into the middle of, like, a teenage girl's accessory store. Like, what's with all the shit he's wearing? I don't get it.
I think his look may be worse than Tadasuke's, to be honest with you. Like,
his best look was, like, 2 years ago, like, with the simple singlet with the tire tread. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great, but this looks like some reject demolition attire, like, almost. You know, like, what is this all about? Like you said, this is definitely in a questionable, like, who designed this is what I want to know. Who came up with this idea? Who told him this was a good idea? Was it him? Was it a veteran playing did somebody rib him and say, like, no, this is what you need?
He looks like an extra if he was filming a music video for X Japan, like, set in a post-apocalyptic setting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. It's a terrible look. He's a good wrestler, but he's again, I would never belt him up with the current gear he has right now.
I love his wrestling. Like, I think he's so good. I love what you said about the Morishima push. Like I was thinking about this, you know, because we had Kenno and Kaito for the title at the New Year's show with Noah. And I was just thinking when that happened. I mean, that match turned out to be a great match, and they worked really hard, and they're both great. But there was an alternate reality. If they had played their cards right to where that match was Inamura winning the title over, you know, like winning the world title. And I just, he's so far away. Not now. It's sad because he's such a great talent that I love what he brings to the table. And in any style, I mean, he worked great with Hideki here. I thought Hideki, obviously a fantastic performer. Thatcher and him have great chemistry. Everybody did all right. There was no real, load in the match. Fujita probably did the least of anybody, but I don't think he, dragged the match down. I thought this was, the best match of the show until we got to, the last four, I would say.
Yeah, I really like this match. I have a lot of disdain for Fujita, but, he was kept to a minimum. And, you know, it's interesting, whenever he was, in the ring with, Masaki Mochizuki, he didn't take any liberties. He didn't do anything he would do to a young boy in there, because I think, probably, number one, he probably respects Mochizuki.
Yeah.
But probably, two, he knows Mochizuki would kick his ass in real life.
We were talking about this off the air, that wrestling needs a shooter. Like a real shooter, like an Akira Maeda. Like somebody.
Listen, Masaki Mochizuki is a legit black belt in karate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guarantee you, he could, if Fujita tried to take liberties with him in the ring, he wouldn't do anything unprofessional back in the ring, but I guarantee you, back in the back, he'd probably fucking kill him.
And like I said, we need somebody that he's just a renegade type of guy who has credentials and, doesn't care about, has no respect for his elders or anything like that, like Maeda did. Somebody who isn't afraid to shoot on people that are above him in the company and try to earn respect, his own way and become we need that in wrestling. We need a wild card, which was not had in this match. And Fujita didn't do anything, like you said, in this match to even warrant that. But still, that's just my opinion. We need a true renegade shooter type. We need Akira Maeda back. Just, 30 years younger, perhaps.
Maybe this is what Kenya Okada's new gimmick should be. He should be a mix of Davey Richards and Akira Maeda, legit shooting on people in the middle of matches and breaking their orbital bones.
Although that did happen to him. unfortunately, that's why he was gone from injured. So, Maeda never got shot on, right? In a match or...
No, but he shot on Joshi, right? That's why he got fired from New Japan.
Yes, and then became a megastar in Japan.
In the process, yes.
Yeah.
I want to say, I really want to see more of Hideki. My good close personal friend, Hideki Suzuki.
Absolutely.
And Timothy Thatcher, have more matches as the two of them. And, I think just belt them up down the line again and just let them hold the belts for a long time, because these two have such great chemistry with one another. You can tell probably when Timothy Thatcher got over there, my good pal Hideki was showing him around Japan and taking him to all the good places to eat and to, I don't know if Thatcher's a drinker or not, but to go drink and stuff like that. But yeah, if people are wondering why I say my good close personal friend with Hideki Suzuki, is because I've met him twice and he was so nice both times.
Hideki's awesome. He's messaged me on Twitter before, even in English. He does his best. I love Hideki, and I love Thatcher as well. Thatcher's very cool too. When they made him get a Twitter account in WWE, he was one of his first follows as well, because he knows how much I respect him on there. And I do respect both of them a lot. And I thought that was a big miss. Especially considering we're going to talk about this tag title situation a little bit later, but I get what they're going for. I liked Kojima and Sugera as a tag team. Don't get me wrong, but Hideki and Thatcher, they had what it takes to be an all-time classic tag team to me. So somebody that really revitalized the division, could have great matches with anybody. You had a lot of great stars that you could call upon that would work their style. You could put different guys in there. Lots of new matches. Hideki, the great thing about him and Noah is that he doesn't always wrestle a ton of singles matches during the year. So he's still got a lot of fresh matches that haven't been done into the ground, and obviously Thatch does too. So I think that there are two of my favorite guys just in wrestling in general, but especially in Noah. So I definitely agree with what you had to say, and definitely also agree with Hideki being very cool as well. So good stuff there overall. And, you know, I know what you thought after that. You said, look, that was a great match. And, yeah, these guys are cool, and I love Hideki. He's my friend. He's very nice. He likes Juventus. But then you said, what I need more of is Dr. Wagner Jr. Jr., as you call him, because he was in that the next match, teaming with Marufuji, Ninja Mac, and Makasa. They took on Kongo team. It was like all the leftover guys that weren't the other two matches. Like half of this card is Kongo matches, it seems like. It was Hiroki, Nakajima, Funaki, and Kondo.
I thought it was a very fun multi-man tag match. I like everyone on the, I guess this is the Hontai team, Amakusa, yeah. Dr. Wagner Jr., Marufuji, and Ninja Mac. I, like, you know what? Put Marufuji and Jr. together. I think that would probably be a fun tag team, and make Ninja Mac and Amakusa like a junior tag team as well. You know, have them team regularly. I really dig Ninja Mac in New Japan. Like what little I saw of him on the American Indies, I thought, you know, he's flippy, but he's a good flippy, so I don't mind him so much doing all the flip. Like, he's better than, so who's this fucking guy in fucking GCW, the skinny fuck that just flips and people like lose their shit over him? What's his fucking name? Anyways, I hate him. He sucks. But what, not Ninja Mac.
Have you seen the other GCW guy Noah's brought in, Dante Leon?
Oh. He fucking sucks too. Like, yeah. What the fuck is he wearing? Like, seriously, he looks like he's a fucking Ninja Turtle, but like, you know, like, but brought, but like, through a filter of like 1994 fucking Matt Hardy or some shit like this. What the fuck is he wearing? Like, this guy looks like so fucking indie. I want to vomit every time I see him on like in Noah ring. It's like, get rid, like, dude. Like, if you're listening to this, get a new fucking look. Seriously, you are never going to get pushed. Like, you, I don't know how you are now listed as a GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion. That's like some atrocity, some crime. That's the crime against a fucking, like, the universe. You know what I mean? Like, no, but you're never getting that title again because you fucking suck and you look like shit.
And Ninja Mac's way better than him.
Well, Ninja Mac is so much, he's got a better look. Yeah. He's growing as a wrestler. Like, you can tell this guy's like taking to being in Japan seriously. He's probably in that fucking dojo getting stretched and like probably telling him, listen, flip like half the amount of flips you do before. You're doing half of those and you're doing more fucking groundwork now. And he's probably like, yes, yes, sir. I'm fucking doing that. You know, like if you're like under the wing of someone like Marufuji, you can utilize your high flying, but in a smart way, like Marufuji. Marufuji is one of the greatest junior heavyweights of all time because he didn't just fly, he knew when to fly.
Yeah, and he was a legend, an innovator of offense that people like learned from just watching him. You know, I've always
stole from CM Punk.
Yeah. Kenta especially. He's CM Punk stole from
Chris Jericho.
Yes, him as well for sure. Even somebody like there's been other people that have done his misdirection clothesline as well he started. The sliced bread, the move he innovated. I mean, everybody does that nowadays. So it's like he's invented tons of moves and innovated. I always said, after that match happened, you could see a Marufuji and Kenta match, and neither of those two are in the building, pretty much, because people just copy their stuff, pretty much. And like you said, that goes to his big brain in wrestling, too, not just his athletic ability. And Ninja Mac, I hope that he can learn from somebody like him. The guy I really think always stands out to me in these matches, and someone I really love, is the junior champion right now, Amakusa. I think this guy is freaking awesome. I love his wrestling. I've always been a big fan of his, even when he was Hal, and like even before that, even in like Michinoku Pro and stuff. I just thought, man, this guy's great. He has so much upside to him. And then they finally put the title on him. He's had all of these great performances, and they're building up to him facing Hiromu in that Dome show. And I think everybody's going to be talking about this guy after that show as like a standout player. You know, I really love Amakusa, not just in this match, but just in general.
He's got a great look. He's a great high-flying wrestler. He's a great junior heavyweight champion. I think he's the best thing to happen to that belt in a long time. Yeah, like, you know what? I hope he wins against Hiromu. Like, he should win. If they're gonna job out Kaito to Okada, then he should win. He should win against Hiromu for sure. But yeah, I think there's so much uptight. This is, you know what I say about Amakusa is like, he is what Sugi could have been.
Yeah. Great comparison. Yeah, totally. He was like Yoshitsune when I first saw him. He had a million gimmicks overall, but then he just settled on Sugi. His real name.
His best gimmick was Ahi.
Yeah.
In All Japan.
Yes. We had Noise as well at one point in the indies. Catfish Man at one point as well. So it's like,
oh, that was some reference to something else involving that phrase. No, just kidding. I kid.
Well, he had his legal issues of his own kind as well that took far away from his career, and then now Amakusa is much better than he definitely is. Sugi was in All Japan just last year as a junior champion.
That's true.
There, yeah. So he's still hanging around, doing stuff.
Well, he's not going to be hanging around any companies that Nosawa Rangai eventually ends up in, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't look forward to his return in Noah anytime soon. But Amakusa's great. I love him. And the Congo team was pretty good. You know, like, Nakajima's always fun to watch in these kind of Congo matches.
Everyone looks so old on the Congo team. Like,
yeah.
You know, Hiroki and Nakajima's getting up there. Even though he's not that old, like, you know, he's like in his 30s, but like he's starting to, like, in its face. It's like, you know, because I still kind of remember, like, you know, 18-year-old, you know, 22-year-old Nakajima. Yeah. Tanaki's still, you know, old, and like Shuji Kondo is like the one that's like, holy crap, this guy looks old now.
Oh yeah, Kondo especially. I think it's like, you know, you think of him as the All Japan Junior Ace. And then later on, you know, he was kind of the Wrestle 1 Junior Ace as well. But he's a guy who's been around forever, you know, like it seems like. And you think of him, and it's not like he necessarily wrestles bad or anything like that at all. I think he's still a good wrestler. It's just he's a guy that's been around. And nowadays especially, his freelance run is astronomical. He's in every company, it seems like. You know, he's in Dragon Gate, Noah. I think he was in All Japan not that long ago. I think he might have even been in DDT not that long ago. Like, he's all over the place in this world of wrestling, so he's not starving for work, I will tell you that much. But, yeah, definitely the Hontai team. I thought this was a decent match, like, solid match. I was very impressed with the juniors. And I share your enthusiasm for Ninja Mac as well. I think he's a guy, you know, it's easy to dismiss somebody like that if it's like a GCW geek, like most of them. But he's actually a good one. Like they got onto something with him. And from right away, when he debuted last year at the All-Junior Sumo Hall show, the crowd reacted to him like a star when he did his act. So, big fan of Ninja Mac, especially Amakusa. I think he's an excellent wrestler. But we had something that we mentioned him a second ago. He's definitely well known for his political tendencies. And thankfully, I know you didn't see his death match that he had with Onita and Kendo Kashin in All Japan lately. Nosawa Rangai teamed with Del Desperado here to take on Yohei and Saiki Yoshioka. Nosawa has promised us that he's retiring at this Dome show.
Will he
live up to his word?
If only. Yeah, I don't know. Like, he was like least offensive as he could be. You know, he's teaming with Desperado. By the way, is it true that Desperado is on a handshake deal and is not actually under contract to New Japan?
I've heard that there's a few guys that you might not think that are like that in All Japan, or New Japan, because remember, there's people we know like Suzuki, who has obviously like always been a freelancer. Sanada, too. Everybody's talked about him being a freelancer. So there's probably a couple of guys. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know for sure if he is or not, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, if he's on a handshake deal, if I'm Noah, I scoop this guy up. I say, what do you want? What do you want in the contract?
That would be hilarious.
We will push you to the, can you imagine? Cause he would freshen up his own career, and he would freshen up not only like the junior heavyweight division, but I would make him a heavyweight.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, he has to be a heavyweight in Noah. I mean, like, he's bigger than Kendo. For sure. Like,
yeah. In fact, you know, screw the junior heavyweight part. I would just totally say, we're going to push you as a heavyweight. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and he could be one of their top stars if they pushed him as a heavyweight. He's got the talent and the charisma and the look, and everything about him really feels like a superstar. In New Japan, it's like you're doomed if you're a junior heavyweight in New Japan because they just don't use it how they – like the division as a whole is so low on the totem pole, you know, and he's a great wrestler. But we've seen when they tried to push him as the junior champion, it's like all of their major shows with him bombed, like because nobody cares about the junior division at the end of the day. And if you put him as a heavyweight in Noah, I mean, he's up there. He, like, as a top worker, like charisma, you could see that the fans would rally behind somebody like him. He attracts a lot of different demographics. You mentioned Hayata drawing a bunch of women fans before, but the ladies can love Desperado too. The mystery of the mask. He's
they love him anyways. They all know what he looks like underneath that mask.
Well, yeah, that too as well. And he's a very handsome man as well. Like I said, I will tell him that to his face. I'd say, Desperado, you look freaking great, man. And mask or no mask, that guy could be a top star. I'm totally with you. If that's true. Shame on New Japan for not locking Desperado down.
Hey, shame on Noah for not trying to steal him right now. Maybe after this Tokyo Dome show, they're like, yeah, we don't really need New Japan that much. We're just, hey, El Desperado, what would it take to get you to join our roster as a heavyweight? It's yours.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. Like if that happens, like Noah signed one of those guys, there would be so much political shitstorm that came out of it from the New Japan side that would be very entertaining if that happened. And they would bring in Ibushi as well afterwards just to fuck things up even more.
Yeah. Well, I found the name of the guy I was talking about. Jordan Oliver. That guy's terrible.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of him. I think I may have seen him like one time, so I believe your opinion. He's an indie guy in the U.S., so I know he probably sucks. But, you know, he's a GCW guy too, right?
Yes, he's one of them guys that like GCW hires because he's terrible and he does a lot of flips.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Again, I don't want to bag on him too hard just because I've never seen him except for maybe one or two times. But I believe what you're saying. Let's just say I'm not interested to find out more. So I'll take your word for it.
Listen, there. I am going to a GCW show in Toronto only because John Pollock messaged me. He says, hey, I'm going to go to this GCW show in Toronto. Do you want to go with me? Because I think it would be fun to go to a GCW show with you. And I said, John, you're the only reason that I would go to a GCW show anywhere outside of my good friend Joey Bay, because I said I would go to a GCW show with Joey Bay because he loves GCW. But him and John Pollock are the only people who would ever get me out to go to a GCW show. No one on the roster could make me go to a GCW show. But John Pollock is my good friend. So I said, yes, I'll go with you.
Joe is a draw when it comes to wrestling, for sure. I love that guy. Like I said, I'm a big fan of his shows. And Joey Bay, that's a good dude, too. I like Joey Bay. Shout out to all of our friends across the board at post-wrestling and all the cool stuff going on. Well, I mean, GCW is not really cool, but it is going on. And you will
hey, some people like it. It's cool if you like it. But I'm not going to pretend that I do just to make you feel better, so...
If you love him, you got to tell him the truth. Okay, so we got to tell him the truth right now. You know who belongs in GCW? Yohei.
See, I don't hate Yohei. I like that one day run he had with your titles with KZ. Because, like, I love me some KZ. Let me tell you,
KZ's legit, awesome.
I love KZ. I kind of wish he would do more stuff in Noah. Like, he doesn't have to leave Dragon Gate because, like, he can do, like, the Mochizuki deal where he's, like, doing both, right? Like, bring in, like, and Mochizuki, got to bring in Mochizuki Jr. He should bring him into Noah, too. Like, just do both, you know? But, yeah, I don't hate Yohei. Like, of all the Rattels, he's the one I hate the least.
You know, Yohei, I used to really hate him. He used to be my least favorite of everybody. But he's kind of grown on me, to be honest. I have to admit, like, as a wrestler, he's all right. But his look is very, like, GCW-esque, I would say. You know, overall.
Yeah, the baggy pants remind me more of, like, Hayabusa in some ways. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with his look, his current look right now. I think, honestly, like, get KZ and make them a regular junior tag team and, like, have awesome matches with, like, you know, whoever Chris Ruijai ends up teaming with. And Amakusa and Ninja Mac, and shit like that would be awesome. Like, you know, Ogawa
Ogawa's an
Ada, if they're still teaming, like, great. What a junior tag division you would have if you had, like, all these guys teaming with one another.
Yeah, like I said, Yohei's grown on me. In all seriousness, I like him well enough now. Overall, and like you said, him and KZ are a natural pairing too as a team. Just aesthetically, the looks.
Yohei's got that Dragon Gate like history.
Yeah,
you know, it's really cool. Like, I want to see Yohei show up in fucking Dragon Gate. That'd be cool.
Oh yeah, that's true. Anybody who has Heat Woods is probably long gone now. thankfully he may be able to at some point. You know who's Yoshioka to me is way underrated though. I really love his wrestling. He's a guy. He's not like a special standout in terms of look or anything, but I think he has such a unique style in the ring with his kicks. He's got like the axe kick he brings in there. He's got speed going on. I think he's an awesome wrestler.
Oh, Seiki Yoshioka? Yeah. He wasn't on the show, so I totally forgot that he existed.
Like, that's a guy, you pair him and Kotage, they were a team, that's where I was going with this, because him and Kotage were the former champions. Like, those guys were a great tag team aesthetically. You've got Yohei and KZ aesthetically tag team. Me and my friend Dean, we talked about this a little bit, we were talking about Noah on a past episode. But then you have somebody like, you know, you have guys like maybe even, Hayata and somebody they could bring in. You've got Ogawa. I think they do to rearrange. We'll talk about the junior titles in a little bit, the tag titles. But Yano and Yohei, or Yohei and KZ, excuse me. Getting jumbled up here. But it's not a thing. But Yohei and KZ would be a great team. Oh, what do you think of Yano, too? He's a young guy. I like him a lot. He's just really small, but I think as a junior guy, he could be a really good guy in the future. Like, I think we all expect and hope for Junta to be that guy, but I think Yano could be right behind him.
Yeah, he's fine. Like, again, like, he's still, you know, too much of a rookie for me to really invest too much. But, like, I like what I've seen of Yano. You got to really think of new names for, like, a lot of these young boys in Noah, like Okada, yeah. Yano.
Yeah, who's their next young boy? Tanahashi?
Tanahashi. Yeah, it'll be like Sho Tanahashi. Yeah. Joining the company, or Minoru Shibata.
Yes, all of those men are going to come in.
Shinya Naito.
Yes, Shinya Naito. This feels like a Fire Pro game coming to life right now. So I would love that. Imagine if that's true. Like, none of these are their real names. They're just trying to put it on, like, so they can put it on the card. Okada and Yano and Naito and all of this. It's all fake names. We don't know that, though.
But these could all be, like, work names. Like, Yasutaka Yano could be a work name. Who knows? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, we need to get to the bottom of this. Is this their real names, or is this very clever marketing pitches to have them? We don't know. But, I mean, we have Yusuke Okada as well. DDT now, but he was in All Japan at first. So who will win the great Okada Wars in the near future?
Listen, Yusuke Okada, what a waste of that guy in DDT. Seriously, just jump to Noah, for God's sake. Just go to Noah.
Oh, if I was him, I'd be begging to. Well, I mean, he is a champion now, teaming with Kotaro, like the six-man titles at Indo. So at least he's like the third man of this trio's title team. That's better than what he was doing, which was absolutely nothing beforehand.
I think he would get pushed in the, you know, he can join Kongo or some shit like that.
Oh, that he would be a great addition to Kongo as well. I mean, they don't have enough members at this point.
See, I would swap out. If I'm like Cyberfight, I'd be swapping out. Okay, Tasuke, you're more of a DDT guy. You and Hayata, you're going to DDT, and we're bringing in Yusuke Okada, and you pick whoever other junior you want to bring in to replace, you know, the other guy.
Yeah, I completely agree with it. You've won me over. Tadasuke definitely fits DDT. If he were to go there,
You know what? DDT is gonna get Tadasuke and Hayata, and we're taking Higuchi. We're taking Higuchi. We're putting him in Noah.
Now that's what they should do. bring Higuchi to Noah. I definitely agree with that. And give him a mega push and Noah, make him one of the faces of the company. Yes, I definitely agree. I like where you're coming from with all of this. That's something I've always said that they don't do nearly enough of. It's like, have DDT and Noah guys jump back and forth. Like, if somebody gets stale in one company, you have this one, this other place you could send people to and let them have a whole new lease on life and have all fresh matches and stuff like that. Even people I think are good, like, could flip into DDT and Noah, just do something different and then come back. You know, like you were kind of saying about Sho Tanaka going away for a year, have somebody from Noah go to DDT for a year. Like somebody like, I mean, he's injured right now, but Harada or Kotage, like they've won the junior titles as 10 zillion times. Let them do something different and then kind of get a new lease on everything. DDT has a ton of guys they can send over to Noah. I don't understand why they don't utilize that relationship more than they do. It's one of their.
I mean, like your example, Harada and Kodage.
Yeah.
How invaluable would they be to the young guys in DDT?
Yeah.
These guys, like, not just on, like, in the ring, but, like, probably maybe behind the scenes too. Is like, you know, like, I can't imagine, like, how invaluable having Akiyama there has been for that roster.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, and you send, like, these guys who are, like, master tag team wrestlers, like, know how to get over. And, like, most of the guys in DDT are juniors, for the most part, right? So, yeah. Like, they would have, like, if you reteam them and do it in DDT, I think you have all these fresh matches that would help draw money for that company. So, yeah, they should totally go over. And it would get them out of nowhere. Like, they're kind of stale. They've been there too long.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And I love them. They're, like, two of my favorite guys at Noah. But there's no interesting things they could do as juniors or tag teams. So,
yeah, I mean, like, give them Tadasuke, Hayata, Momo Station tag, you know, and then just for one guy, for Higuchi.
Now, that's a trade that I definitely like. And also, they could just fire Hayata. Like, just send him to Dev Pro or somewhere like that. That'd be fine.
He's going there within, like, 5 years. I guarantee it.
Exactly. Like I said, they could just get rid of him. But like you said, maybe he draws some different fans, so he could be a DDT guy. I could see that. My vision of this is coming forward that you've given me, WH. You passed along this vision that I never even thought of because I try not to think about Hayata in general, but him and DDT could be the answer now that I think about it. You know, so, and I think that would be a great thing for the young guys to have Momo tag there. And yes, bring in Higuchi, maybe even Akiyama, if they could do that.
Higuchi and Yusuke Okada.
Yes.
For four guys. I would fucking do it. If I was had any stroke in Cyber Fight, I would fucking do it right today, right now, at this minute.
Oh, and I wish you did. I wish you can rise up the ranks, change some names to make it not as familiar to New Japan guys. Get rid of Tadasuke and Hayata, and also bring in Higuchi. All of these things are great ideas, but you know what a great idea was? Anything besides good-looking guys as the team, the name for a stable, I would say.
What about just four guys?
That was another questionable one, I would say. What's with this guys? Do y'all not realize how goofy you look, how like minor league these
groups look? This group is called Good Looking Guys. Why is Anthony Green in it?
His nickname is the Retrosexual. So he's going back to the old school, the 70s style.
So, but why is he in a group called Good Looking Guys?
In the 70s, he would have been an icon in his mind. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just saying.
I mean, he's wearing, like, you know what when I see him, what I think, oh my God, it's skinny Chase Owens, which does not mean you're a good looking guy.
I agree with you, but he's trying to go after a different audience, clearly. Like,
he's wearing a headband. He's got greasy hair, and he's got a sleazy mustache. But this 2023 is not fucking 1970s anymore. You know? It's like, anyways, that being said, I will say this about Anthony Green. He wrestles a lot better than Chase Owens.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's fine. I don't mind him being on the roster or anything like that, but it's like, why is he in a group called Good Looking Guys with, like, Jack Morris and Jake Lee? And can I just say this about Jake? I like Jake being in Noah. I think he's a good career path for him. I think it helps refresh the both him and the roster, but I think he's kind of already been lost in the shuffle already.
Yeah.
Also, he needs to get rid of like the entrance gear that makes him look like if you had Kylo Ren done through a Tai Chi filter. That's it's gotta lose that fucking entrance gear, dude. Like just get like a simple leather vest and wear that to the ring. Come on, Jake. Do me a solid here and get rid of the neo, I don't know, Renaissance fucking, like, gothic fucking, like, outfit from fucking, I don't know, some anime fucking PlayStation game he played when he was, like, a fucking 19-year-old or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to think about with this Jake Lee gear, I will say that. And I guess, I mean, you know, Kylo Ren in his story, he started out as, like, neither a good guy or a bad guy, right? He was kind of in between. So.
He's a good-looking guy.
Well, that is true. Yeah. The good-looking guy of Star Wars was Kylo Ren. If there was a Star Wars faction, he would lead it. Is Jake, would you even consider him, like, the good-looking guy?
Listen, he's ethnically Korean. I cannot turn against my own people, so yes.
I understand this. So, like I said, I respect it, and I agree. So shout out to Jake Lee. We got to show you some love. I do think, is it a sign, though, that even in Noah's law backstage, that because Jack Morris got the title shot, that these guys were on the undercard, and losing, by the way, which is a very bad sign for any new faction when you start losing right away. But let's just say, is it a factual statement that, according to Noah, not me, because I'm not criticizing Green, I'm not criticizing Jake Lee, we got a lot of love for these guys, we just praised them, good workers, you know, good-looking guys, as they claim. But in Noah's pathology of booking, does that mean they have declared that Jack Morris is the best-looking guy because he got the title shot above the other two?
Well, I mean, it depends, like, how you look at the idea of being good looking, but, like, I would assume that for a lot of people, I don't gonna say most, but maybe for a lot of people, Jack Morris is probably the best looking guy out of the GLG trio.
Congratulations, Jack. We've got to give it up to you. You may not have won the title, but you have won the title of the best-looking guy and the good-looking guy, so you have to really give him something for that. But regardless, you know, the tag match with good-looking guys, like I said, it's a bad sign that they're already losing, to be honest. You would think that you would want to hook up these guys and maybe give them some wins and get the fans behind them, but I guess not.
Yeah, but, like, you know, who are they facing? They're facing, like, the, you know, second, third most top guy in the company in Keno, right? So I'm not that surprised that they lost. Like,
and Soya?
And Soya, yeah. Well, I mean, like, Soya is, like, a solid dude.
Yeah.
On your card, and I wouldn't be having him. I wouldn't have you having Soya lose to Anthony Green, for God's sakes.
Well, no, but to Jake, I would like to think that Jake would be above Soya on the totem pole.
Jake should not even be in this group. Like,
we're right back at the start of this whole thing. No.
Jake should have actually, like, what should have happened was Nakajima should have turned on Kongo and formed a faction with Jake Lee and Kenya Okada and fucking, I don't know, someone, and fucking Alejandro and Junta Miyawaki. They should be the juniors of this new faction.
I definitely think that this faction is not a winning formula for Jake Lee overall. And I'd definitely be worried that their idea to debut was randomly coming out in the mid-card and, like, shaking hands with Jack Morris. I mean, nothing against him, but you would think that he's a guy that would have more behind him overall. But yeah.
I'll get to Jack Morris when we get to the main event.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get there, because I actually think this is where the show kind of picked up, because we had the debut of Jalístico, another Mexican talent, in addition to Daga earlier on, and Io del Dr. Wagner Jr. as well, in the undercard. Now we got Jalístico coming in, and he took on Atsushi Kotage, who we just mentioned. But Jalístico, he would not take the fall. He's too... He cannot be beat that early.
He learned from his older brother, Rouge.
Yes.
He's like, I'm not losing even to the veteran guy. But I wouldn't have him losing his debut.
No, because
I think they're probably going to push the shit out of this guy.
I thought he looked good in this match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think of the three brothers of Jalístico, Rouge, and Dragon Lee, he's like the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Like, as far as charisma goes, like, as far as talent goes, he's above Rouge, in my opinion. But Dragon Lee is like the top guy in that brotherhood. Right. But he's a great addition to this junior heavyweight division. I think he freshens it up. And I love the fact that Noah's like so interested in bringing in all this lucha talent, and like lucha guys who can work Japanese style are fucking awesome usually. So I'm very excited to see more of him and have him pick up more kind of ProRes elements to his lucha, you know what I mean? And then kind of ground himself a bit more, because like I think like he's got a great look. He's got a lot of charisma. He got people chanting his name right away. Just you know, like just try to like if he's staying, give him a big push, have him wrestle Amakusa and fucking Ninja Mac and you know, whoever else, you know, like in the junior division.
Yeah, I thought he looks great. He's got a standout look in the company. I think he's a guy people don't remember a long time ago. He was actually the original Dragon Lee, not the one that it is now. They changed it because they needed a new Mystico, or they wanted a new Mystico, and it really didn't work at all for him. Like you said, his charisma level was very low, especially on the mic. He was like, if you could understand Spanish, you knew that he was not that charismatic overall. He really got lazy by the end of his CMLL run, which is happens a lot, especially at that time in CMLL, and he really didn't put in a ton of effort. But he showed here that if you get him in a good scenario, he could deliver, because I thought, like, to me, this was the best match to this point. Like, I felt like this was a step up from the last match, which was solid enough, but I thought that this was, like, a good match overall.
Yeah, it's fine. I you know, like, I think it's a good showcase for what you need to use Kotage as a veteran who, you know, like, you can push him a bit, but, like, he should be him and Harada really should be, like, getting all the young guys over at this point.
Yeah, and they're perfect for that, because they're, like, they're great wrestlers. It's just they've been around for so long that they're not that interesting anymore. So, like, use them as reliable, dependable guys that can make everyone else look better. And, like, that's what he did here, because I think he made Jordisico look better as well. He got the win with Operacion Dragon, which is, like, a great move, too, by the way. Great move. Mystico's, Dralistico at this point. He is a guy that could definitely be a spark plug to this division. And like you said, Noah has its issues for sure, but one of the best parts about them is that they're able to bring in all of these hidden gems and stuff, like people you might not even think of as the top tier talent. And then obviously like this, he's obviously, like, Dralistico has the family connection with the Munoz family, but, he really good here, so I was very happy to see that. And then we got into the title matches. It started out with the heavyweight tag team titles. A title change. Sugiura and Kojima, they took on Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba. And Kitamiya and Inaba get the tag team titles here after Kitamiya tapped out Kojima.
Now, didn't he pass out?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did pass out. Yeah, good point. But he had the prison lock on Kojima. And to win the match, which to me, this is probably one of the bigger wins of his career at this point. You know, obviously, everyone would point to the cage match he beat Nakajima in. But besides that, I think this is one of the bigger wins that he's had getting the tag titles. Yeah, I was pretty surprised, to be honest. I thought this was an unexpected title change in my book.
Yeah, I mean, I really get the sense of, like, you know, from what I see, you know, being posted on social media with as far as, like, Noah news and results go, like, that maybe 2023 is going to be a good year for Kitamiya. And you know, he deserves it. Like, he works so hard, and I think he's grown so much from being, like, the, you know, the other guy in the aggression, that he can be the leader of this team. And, like, Inaba is his, like, you know, his kohai. And Inaba needs something. Like, this guy's been, like, you know, floundering in Noah since he joined. And I think being tag team champions with Kitamiya is a good look. And I'm excited, because, like, I think these guys have potential to be, like, you know, like, have a nice title reign where, like, and bring people up and the division up that face them, you know? And so, like, I do hope, like, there's some stability to these tag team titles, and, like, Inaba and Kitamiya hold the belts for a while. And yeah, I thought this was, like, probably my favorite match of the whole show, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was going to be my hot take, that I thought this was a great match. I think Sugiura, like I said, there was, like, a brief period last year where I'm ashamed to admit on this show, and, like, nobody bats 1,000, even I get stuff wrong sometimes, and this one I definitely got wrong, because for a second in the N1, I thought, man, Sugiura, is he not where he once was? you know, he's not having – he's not one of the standout players like he always is. He's usually always one of the best guys. And then suddenly this tag team comes along and it's like, oh, yeah, he's still the great – like he's still one of the best. Like he's still going. And I thought he was fantastic in this match. I really like Inaba. I think that guy had – I've always liked him in Wrestle 1 even when he was the champion there. I thought he was underrated by a lot of the fans. He's a guy that come in, like you said, very much floundering, doing nothing for a long time. And with this tag team now, Kitamiya, like you said, he's a guy that deserves a run. I was really thinking, man, are these guys ever going to go anywhere? And he's been tag team champion before. I don't want to overstate it. Like now suddenly he's on a new level because he's been there before. But he's at a good level for him now. And like you said, this really helps Inaba even more than Kitamiya, in my opinion. I was pretty hyped for this win overall, and I wasn't expecting it. I thought they would continue with Sugera and Kojima, but I think that these guys – they could be, like you said, I completely agree with you, great champions. I thought the work in this match was really solid, too. And Kojima, you gotta give it up to him, because he could have come in to Noah with a big ego, you know, really try to push people around and throw his status around, because he is a legend. Even outside of New Japan, with his All Japan run, he's a legend. And he could have gotten his way, probably, if he wanted to be more selfish. But I think he's done a great job overall in the company. He's been a great representative, even as an old-timer for New Japan and Noah. And I think the title run was pretty successful, the tag titles run. But like you said, there's another step that Inaba and Kitamiya can get to, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, with Kojima, I think he just came in thinking, shit, they're going to give me the title. I'm going to have the Grand Slam. I'm going to be one of the Grand Slam guy in Perez. And I'm sure, and they're gonna push me. They're gonna use me. And like, unlike the last 3-4 years of New Japan, I'm pretty sure that rejuvenated him and motivated him to work really hard in this company. And so, like, I hope he went backstage to like Desperado and said, "Hey, just jump over. They'll push you. It's fun here. I'm having an awesome time here."
It always comes back to Desperado. We have to get this man in Noah and be a future GHC champion. We have to figure it out. But still, though, very happy with this result and definitely happy with the match. Lots of fire from all of them as well. I just thought it was really good stuff. So, good, really good match overall. It's funny because this is the match on Cage Match. This is the match that got to the ratings point faster than any other match. You know, it's got 7.73 right now. But none of the other matches have received enough votes yet. So that was the match that stood out. It stood out to us. So definitely check it out. 17 minutes, too. So under 20 minutes. Good pace. No waste of time or any of that stuff. Really good stuff, which will not happen for the next match. The junior tag team title match. Stinger. Eita and Yoshinori Ogawa versus Alejandro and Junta Miyawaki. I would like you to go first on this match, WH, to tell us what you think of this.
I mean, it was a storyline match. It was just built around, like, Alejandro and Eita, right? Like, it's about, like, Eita ripped his mask off earlier, and Alejandro wants revenge, so he's like, yeah, I want revenge, and I want your tag team titles with my boy Junta here. And it was okay. I mean, I thought it went too long. I thought the heat segment on both Alejandro and Miyawaki was like getting a little, I don't know, long-winded for me, my personal taste, like, you know, but it was fine. I thought the closing stretch with, you know, Alejandro and Eita was fun. Like, you know, I thought there was going to be a title change. It didn't happen. I was like, okay, I like when I'm surprised. And it was a simple finish with, like, the, you know, the super kick from Eita. I forget what he calls it, the Emperor or something like that. He got the win. And, yeah, it's under, like, one thing I'll say, like, every match on this card was under 20 minutes. Fuck yeah. It still felt long, like a long show. But hell yeah, like New Japan, God, like have some of your fucking matches go under 20 fucking minutes, please. Jesus.
You know, that's a great point. Because as long as this match felt with the, you know, the kick's called the Imperial Uno as well, like the Imperial. So as long as this match felt, you are mentioning that you're right. It could be worse, just like that Jay White and Hikuleo match went like 25 minutes. This didn't go that long. I hated this match. Mm. I thought it was so boring. Anybody who knows me and is listening to the show knows that there's nothing. Yeah, you can bring in Tadasuke, Hayata, even though he's actually a part of this technically, which may be also why I hate him so much. Nothing I hate more in wrestling than Stinger right now. And anything they have going on, it's the worst faction in history, in my opinion, in Japanese wrestling. I hate this group. I hate their matches. And there's a great review on Cage Match. Somebody said, I'm going to steal his line here. And the thing is, before I say this, I want to preface this, because I did get some questions about this. Ogawa and Eita, I respect them as wrestlers a lot. I remember defending Ogawa back in the old days of Japanese wrestling internet talk. But back then, I was always on Ogawa's side as a great character. Like heel junior heavyweight type of guy. Eita, I loved him as a babyface when he came into Dragon Gate. I thought he was great. Heel Eita was good in red, you know, when they did that, and I thought he was a good heel. And the comment that I'm referencing on Cage Match says, no one is more boring right now than Eita doing the grimy heel stuff at Noah, unless it's Eita and Ogawa as a tag team. And I completely agree with that. There's just no life to any of these matches. Just compare this to that heavyweight tag. There was so much more exciting things going on. Great fire from everybody. Here, it's like anytime. And Alejandro and Junta are great wrestlers, too. Junta had an amazing match with Amakusa on, you know, January 1st. And I thought that was like legitimately not that far off from being my favorite match on that show, that Amakusa-Junta match. Alejandro is somebody I think is very underrated. Great talent. But Eita and Ogawa just ground everything to a halt. It was like watching time move at 20 times, you know, like lower speed, you know, minus 20 on the speed. I hate this team. I think they're terrible champions. I hate every match they have. I don't ever want to see any of them. And I like them on their own, but I hate them. Like I can't help but hate them when they have these matches over and over and over and over again, which we've been seeing for 3, 4, 5 years, whether it's Ogawa and Hayata, Ogawa and Ridgeway, Ogawa and Eita. Hayata team with somebody else that had super boring matches as tag team champions. I can't remember right now. But all of these variations over the last, God, how long has it been? 5 years at this point? When the hell is this crap going to end? Like, I'm tired.
Maybe now. Maybe because, like, Ogawa just got kicked out of his own unit that he created by Ridgeway and Hayata.
Good. Good.
So now they're Stinger. Which, you know, I mean, just get rid of that name. Like, you know, if you're kicking the guy who helped found it, like, just get rid of it. You know, get rid of the name and create a new group or something like that.
Eita is such a dud in Noah, even as a singles. I think he sucks. Like, the last year has been terrible for him. Totally bombed as the main event guy. Of course, Hayata was the other end. Of course, they drew so much that they totally had a terrible, like, 1,500-person Sumo Hall show. Get rid of all these assholes. Like, I'm sick of them all. Like, I like I said, I respect them. I don't want to question their talent. I don't want to see them ever again. I hate this whole shit. I hate them.
Well, I mean, if you, I think keep Ridgeway, but just put him somewhere
Ridgeway
else.
Yeah, okay, I could get down with that. Ridgeway is good. Put him away, far, far away from all of these other people.
You know, Ada can go to, you know, like, you know, I don't know, fucking Osaka Pro or Dub Pro.
if they put him in Dragon Gate and made him a babyface, I think he could be great. I love his talent. Again, I think he's a great wrestler. I've defended him many times. But in this version, how they use him, like I said, it's worn on me so much over these years that even people I like, even if they put people that were like great wrestlers into this, I think I'd still hate it. Like, you know, like it's impossible. It's like, you know, at this point, it's impossible for me to watch this without getting this nagging feeling in my stomach because I know what's going to happen, and then it happens, and I always just look down and say, I look up and say, why God, just kill me. If you're going to put me through more of this, just kill me or let me die. That's how I feel right now when I'm watching these Stinger matches. Just let it end. Please. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that crap because I'm getting angry. So we will talk about something more positive than my thoughts on that whole deal. I will say one thing. Like you said, they did kick him out. It's going to be Hayata and Ridgeway, which could be my nightmare match versus Ogawa and Eita. Stinger implodes. finally. And I have no interest on who's going to win. Just please let it end and not drag out too long. And the main event, Kaito Kiyomiya, defending against Jack Morris. So here's the thing I'm going to say about this, WH. When Jack first came into Noah, I remember saying, like, I wanted to defend him because I wanted to root for him, because when he got announced from N1 last year, everyone was just saying, like, who is this guy? And I was like, this guy's not done anything wrong. It's like he's getting a great shot, like the biggest chance of his career. And I was like, I'm happy for him. I want him to do good, even though, yes, I've never seen him wrestle. I don't really know him that well. But let's see what he's got before we judge the dude. You know, like, let's see what he's got. And he came in. I wouldn't say he was sublime every time, as his nickname claims. But I always respected him, because if you notice, when he first came into N1, you could see him on different networks and different shows and YouTube shows and podcasts. He was getting interviewed by all these people. And it told me that he was really putting himself out there and really open to wanting to be known. And he improved so much as the time went along. And I think he's a guy that he's lasted in Japan for a few months now, almost a half year at this point, getting this title shot. I really think he's improved and done a good job in the ring and really shown that. I wouldn't say he's like a great wrestler, but he's really improved, I would say. And I think he did a good job. This was a good match, a good main event. I like the tag match better. But I thought this was a good match, too, and a good performance for Jack here.
Yeah, it's fine. I think of Jack Morris as, like, Drew McIntyre's little brother. That's what my thought of him is. He's a...
But they're both Scottish.
Both Scottish. He's a perfectly fine professional wrestler that doesn't stand out for me. This is, like, what they call a gentleman's three match for me. So I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was that great, either. I just thought... Okay, I mean, I didn't think he was going to win. There's no way they're going to have Kiyomiya lose to this guy before his match with Okada.
So. Well, that was the biggest problem of this match overall, is that doing it right before the Dome, it's like nobody can really believe in this, you would have to think.
I mean, he's like your typical, like, padding the title reign with the win, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like it's V, I don't know, what V is it for Kiyomiya for this particular reign? Is it V2, V3? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. He won in September. He defended against Thatcher and then against Kenno. So this would be V3.
So V3. So
no, V4, because he defended against Fujita as well, when Fujita blew the finish.
Fujita blew the finish? Like, get out of here. Yeah. It was fine. Again, like, I don't really have too many, like, thoughts about it beyond, like, you know, like, it's a prelude to what was the real main event, you know, which was at the post-match.
Okay, before we get to that, there's one thing I have to ask. I have to know from you, WH, because we never talked about this. But I think I know your answer. What do you think of Kaito's Shining Wizards as his finishing move?
The one he does where he grabs the guy's head is terrible. The one that looks more like a traditional Shining Wizard looks way better. But I don't understand why you're going to adopt the move of the guy who buried you for the last 2 years. Like, that to me seems so counterproductive. And, like, why do you need the Shining Wizard? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand it at all. Like, why he adopts these moves unless he's been drinking some Muto Kool-Aid or something the last 2 years too.
What you said is totally true. His finisher version is awful. Like, the normal version is not that bad, but the one he wins with looks just terrible. And worse yet, did you see the Kenno and Kaito match from January 1st?
Not yet, no.
So in that match, he debuts a new move, which starts off as a tiger. This was actually legitimately my exact idea for him to do, and he ended up doing it. So he debuted a new move. He locked in, like, a tiger suplex, and instead of him giving the suplex, he lifted him up. Kind of like Jade Cargill's Jaded. He lifted him up and then twisted him into, like, a tiger driver, like, move. Like, spun him around. He basically a tiger suplex into a tiger driver combined. And I just thought, that's such a great move. It pays tribute to Misawa. It makes you feel like an ace. You can call it the Tiger Driver 23, your old move, like, new version. Kind of like when Marufuji, remember when he debuted the Tiger Flosion, like the Tiger Driver into the Emerald Flosion?
Yeah.
This is kind of like that, but a new version. So I thought it was like super cool. Make that your finisher. Establish yourself as you instead of Muto's, you know, successor or whatever. We were kind of talking about it off the air. Remember, we were comparing the Shield to Big Boss Man, the Sons of the Shield. Kaito comes across as a son of Muto right now, and we need less of that and more of who he is and representing this company. But I mean, like you said, though, ultimately, I liked the match. I might have liked it even a little better than you, honestly. I thought it was a good main event. Very impressed with Kaito, and just I hate the finishing stretch. Like you said, the modified version of the Shiny Wizard just sucks. But it set up the main event. Who comes in except for the man he's facing at the Tokyo Dome in Great Muta's retirement show, Keiji Muto's retirement show even. The man who said he would not wrestle Kaito for weeks now, somehow, some way, despite all of these teases of this match not happening, it turns out that it's going to actually happen because he hit him with the Rainmaker and cut an epic heel promo on Kaito and the Noah fans where he said he's not going to beat Kaito just to shut up Kaito. Because if you wrestle me, it's Mr. Okada, Okada-san now. He's going to shut Kaito up, but mainly he's going to shut up the Noah fans, who he hates now for some reason as well. And he will do it at the Tokyo Dome. So finally, we confirmed Okada was teasing that he wouldn't do the match because he's above Kaito. And now he's finally agreed to it. What do you think about that, WH?
I thought that was a great angle. I thought by the way, terrible camera cut, by the way, where Okada's about to hit the Rainmaker and then cuts to like a cut of the camera facing the post and then goes back to the hard cam shot and just like, why did you cut? So dumb. But anyways, other than that, great angle, like great Rainmaker. I think his motivation is saying like, I want to beat. I want to beat the Noah fans because I hate them now. He just got like nuclear heat in this promo.
Fucking, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Fucking great. Like this is like a great version of Okada, and like my favorite versions is like when he goes against people from other companies and he just pisses them off. Like I remember seeing like one of those All Together shows, and it was like Okada and Nakamura versus who was it? Suwama and Shuji Kondo, I think. But like Suwama after the match just wanted to kill Okada, and then the heat for that was unreal. It was great. Like so it's cause like Okada was just being a, you know, he was the IWGP champion. He was the like hottest star in the industry at the time, but he was just like, his character work was so great because he was just pissing off all these other veterans in other companies. It was fantastic. And so I like seeing a kind of return of that version of Kazuchika Okada. So yeah, I'm excited. Like, you know, like I don't think Okada needs to win that match, but he probably will win that match. So. Or it's gonna, you know, politically, it can go to a time limit draw, which is, you know, very, you know, likely to be a result as well. We forgot to mention that Naito showed up, you know. Did a promo on Keiji Muto, to set up his retirement match. I thought it was a little bit too long, you know.
And it's funny because this was supposed to be like this heroic last stand for Muto, but the fans were rallying behind Naito in his promo.
Yeah, it was just funny because it's in Osaka. Traditionally, they used to hate Naito a lot. Like when he was Stardust Genius, they fucking hated Naito. He got booed relentlessly. But, you know, LIJ Naito is very popular.
Now, those were rabid crowds, the ones that hated Naito. The shout out what we talked about at the beginning. They hated Naito back when he was the babyface version.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that was fine. Like, I thought that segment was a little bit too long because I just wanted to get to finishing the show and then, you know, contacting you and like, say, hey, let's record now. I finished watching it. But, you know, that, Naito showing up and then this Okada appearance, I thought really, you know, if you're there live, I think it was really great for you as a fan to see, like, you know, wow, cool. Like, I didn't think this was going to have these guys were going to show up necessarily, but, yeah, I'm actually quite interested in this Tokyo Dome show that's going to be happening for Muto's retirement. I think it's a pretty decent looking card, and I think there's a lot of things that can go either way as far as the results go.
I think this show, I wouldn't say this was a great show, like wrestling-wise, up and down. I'd say it was a good show. I really liked the tag titles, and I liked the main event, and there was a couple of good matches on the undercard. I thought Adrilisico made a great impression as well against Kotage. I hated the semi-main event so much. But besides that, though, everything else was just average and not anything that I felt like I wasted my time, but it wasn't anything I would revisit either. But I think what made the show great was it accomplished what it needed to, and that this was ultimately the real purpose of this show more than anything else was, I mean, it sucks because it was such a big show, and I think, you know, I don't know how the fan reaction is overall, but I didn't feel like it was a terrible show by any means. It was a pretty good show, but it was great in that it was a go-home show for the Muto Dome show. And I think that everything you needed to see, the two main event matches, were both built upon here, and the Kaito and Okada match, that feels like the hottest match on the show, build-up-wise. I agree with you that Okada winning, it doesn't really do anything for him, ultimately. I think, you know, but there's no way Kaito can win, so it'd have to be a draw, which I think they built it up enough because Okada has been so, like, such a dick to him, saying, oh, I'm way above you, I don't even need to do this. Even on New Japan commentary, Kevin Kelly's like, why does Okada need to face this goofball Kaito? Like, he's above Kaito and everything. So it's like, you've got everybody saying Okada's above Kaito. So actually, a draw is almost like a win for Kaito. And, like, if that happens, you could see them treating it like a win for Kaito and a loss for Okada, even though he didn't actually beat him, I feel like.
No, that's a good point to make. It doesn't hurt Kaito to go to a draw, and I feel Okada is is not super selfish in the sense like no, I gotta squash this kid. I'm sure it's gonna be a very exciting, very, you know, even match.
That's gonna
put a lot of eyes on Kaito Kiyomiya, as you know, people who might not be familiar with him will be like, oh shit, this guy's a really good wrestler. I'm gonna watch more of him and Noah now. And if you have a draw, then it's like, yeah, it doesn't hurt either guy. In fact, it would benefit Kaito Kiyomiya more, as you're saying. So yeah, it'll be fun when that show happens, and to see what the actual result will end up being.
Who do you think will win that match? Will you say the draw? What's your prediction?
I'm gonna go with the draw. That's probably gonna be the result of this match.
What's your prediction for the main event, Muto versus Naito?
If it were almost anyone else, I'd say Naito was winning for sure, but but there's a good chance Muto will win.
Exactly what I thought when I said that.
But I don't know. We'll see. I feel like Naito doesn't care if he wins or loses. I'm sure he's just happy to be in a match with someone he considers one of his heroes. I can guarantee you, if Shinsuke Nakamura was not part of the WWF, if he was asked to lose, he would lose. But I'm pretty sure WWE was not going to allow him to do the match if he was going to lose to Muto. So that's why he won that match. I bet if you asked Tanahashi, hey, you're going to be the last match of Muto's career, or do you mind losing? He'd probably say, nope, not at all.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought, is like, does Naito even care at this point if he loses? This still, in all honesty, I mean, like you said, wrestling one of his heroes, and what could very well be the biggest match of his career, like attendance-wise, if they are able to really pack this show in, you know, which I don't have confirmation of, but I think it's very likely that this will do a very strong number, at least, this Dome show. I think they're going to have every bell and whistle possible. In terms of video packages, that's going to be the real main event of the show anyway. Even if Muto loses, is going to be the retirement ceremony, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have everybody from his past show in. Hase is going to be there. You know, Chono will be there. You know, like, they'll have everybody pretty much in there. So that's going to be the real main event either way. But I just think it would be funny if Muto won at the end of the day. So I kind of root for it just as a chaotic aspect, but I actually don't think it matters either way, to be honest with you.
No.
Even if Naito wins, it's like, so? Like, I don't think that really does a ton for him at this point. You know, he's already where he is. You know, he's already one of the top stars in Japan. You know, if not the most popular, just in terms of fan support. So, you know, it's fun. I think the whole show is really fun, though. And I like the idea of having a show where all of these different companies can work together, because you've got Dragon Gate, you've got DDT, you've got All Japan, you've got Tokyo Joshi Pro. I think that's really good. Like, a New Japan Noah and all of the other companies, I think that's something that wrestling has needed for a while now, and I think they finally got it right with this Dome show.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for business, for both companies, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you don't see the last of, like, you know, companies working together to put on big shows. I think it's you know, I kind of like the idea of, like, being isolated to some degree as well. But, like, yeah, once in a while, like, have, like, interactions like this. It really bolsters fans, especially you're finally coming out of, like, restrictions as far as, like, you know, crowd cheering and things like that, and maybe hopefully full attendance for building soon. Like, it's something that I think can help revitalize and re-jumpstart the industry from, like, pre, you know, COVID times.
That's an excellent point, too. This is going to be, we talked about rabid fan bases earlier. This Dome crowd is going to be so rabid that it's going to be just quite a spectacle, I would say, overall. And obviously all the matches are good. Is there any other matches besides the big two that you're looking forward to? I know at least one.
I can't remember the exact card for this. Where is the card? Let me look this up. Noah Tokyo Dome Show. See what's on this card, you know. Okay, let's see. What? You have the card?
Yeah, I'm looking it up as we speak right now. The problem is that it's so. Here, I'll look it up. I will find it. I will find the card.
Where is the most recent result? Okay. I look on the
okay, I've got the card right here.
You got the card?
Yeah, so I'll run it down real quick for us here. The opening match, we've got Masakiri Miya, Daiki Inaba versus Yoshiki Inamura, Yasutaka Yano. That's a Noah match there. And then the card subjects change in terms of rumors. I think this match is a little bit faster, but then we've got a Tokyo Joshi Pro match where it's Miyu Yamashita, Yuka Sakazaki, Rika Tatsumi, and Shoko Nakajima versus Mizuki, Miyu Watanabe, Maki Ito, and Yuki Arai. So a bunch of tag partners on different sides, plus Arai, who's like their idol project they have there. Another match is Takashi Sugiura, Satoshi Kojima, and Timothy Thatcher versus Jack Morris, Jake Lee, and Anthony Green. So the good-looking guys getting a dome spot. And Thatcher getting a dome spot, too. Very bummed that Hideki is not also there. Then we have Eita, Yoshinori Agawa, Hayata, and Daga, and Chris Ridgeway. So Stinger feuding right now, but teaming on the Dome. They take on Kotage, Yohei, Seki Yoshioka, Alejandro, Junta Miyawaki, Noah Jr. type of showcase. Then we have a DDT showcase match, Shunma Katsumata, Toi Kojima, Mao, and Yuki Ueno, Sauna Club, they're a faction at DDT. But they take on Tetsuya Endo, Hideki Okatani, Yuya Kuroku, and Takeshi Masada, who is an excellent young wrestler. You've got Dragon Gate involvement, Shun Skywalker, who's their champion, Kai and Diamante. Kai, obviously, great ties to Muto, so I figured he might be on the show. They take on Namichi Marufuji, Iota Dr. Wider Jr., and Ninja Mac. You've got Kento Miyahara, Suwama, and Yuma Aoyagi from All Japan getting in against a Kongo team of Keno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Namusoya.
Ah, yes, that's the match.
That was the one I knew you were into, the Nakajima and Kento.
Yes. That's the match. That's I think probably outside of the main event or the Okada Kimiya match is probably the most intriguing to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they built it up really well, which is a much different way than Okada and Kaito, who have been very, like, expressive in your face. Nakajima and Kento, Nakajima's like, what feud? We don't hate each other. What are you talking about? Like, we're friends. What? And then Kento refuses to comment on it. So with these interactions, it basically tells you all you need to know that that's cool and all, but when they actually meet in the ring, it's going to explode into it. Like, Kento is going to fire on Nakajima, and it's probably going to be pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'm yeah. And also, like, Yuma in there with Nakajima and Soya, that should be fun. Yeah. We'll see what version of Suwama we get in this match. Hopefully it's not VM Suwama.
It depends on what color his hair is.
That's true, too. Yes.
I think he needs to bring in green, since this is a Noah show, technically. Bring in a new version.
Sure, like the green skunk stripe shirt. Let's do that.
Maybe we'll bring in the Great Wama. You think there's at least one Great Muto tribute, a Great Muto tribute on this show at some point, that gimmick. Maybe it'll be the next match.
Like, Nosawa is just a Great Muta, like, cosplay tribute act, isn't he? Like, in terms of his, like, the moveset he uses.
Yeah, and he's teaming with Masada. Gurren Tai.
Reunited.
Dome appearance here. They take on Gato and Taiji Ishimori. What?
Which booker is worse? Match, I don't know.
I guess we're poor Ishimori, but at least he gets a spot on the show. So that is.
Yeah.
Then we got Hiromu and Makasa, Okada, Kaito, and Naito Muto, as we talked about. So
yeah, it's a great card. I think it's a great card.
Yeah, me too.
Good looking undercard, and from the main event to probably the Dragon Gate offer match, I think should be very, very solid show. I'm just worried that this is going to be 7 hours or something like that. I'm not going to probably watch anything underneath the Shin Skywalker Kai and Diamante match, to be honest with you. I'll probably skip everything else.
I think that the DDT match, that's a sleeper match to me, because all of the young guys are going to be there. Kuroko and Masada are excellent wrestlers, and Ueno is going to have something to prove. And Katsumata is a really good wrestler, too. Mao and Kojima, DDT fans like Mao. I'm so-so on Mao. And Endo is a legendary guy. I think that match will be worth watching. I will say that.
Okay. I might give it a chance because you said so.
And it's not any of the goofy guys that I know you wouldn't like. It's all wrestlers. Well, Mao's kind of goofy. Like I said, DDT fans like him. And he might do some crazy. They're probably going to do some crazy high-flying stuff. And the young guys are going to give you the good wrestling. Pretty much, I would say. I think they're going to be very motivated to do the dumb show. So that's a sleeper match, in my opinion, on the whole show. But I agree with you. The card looks great. They've done an excellent job building this up and down. This feels like the biggest show of the year, even more than Wrestle Kingdom, in my opinion. And I think they're going to do a better number as well overall. And I think Muta. I think the problem, you mentioned the time. I think the problem is, just like I said, that retirement ceremony, that could go at least an hour on its own. I think that's going to be a long part of the show.
Yeah, I imagine nothing's going to go more than, most of the undercard isn't going to go more than 15 minutes. Probably the first, five matches are going to be, less than 15 minutes, and then everything else is going to be given a little bit more time. But again, this show we just reviewed, nothing hit the 20-minute mark, which is great. Yeah. I don't think Muto Naito is going to be more than, 10 minutes, to be honest with you.
Now, the point of this show is not to have epic matches, outside of maybe Okada and Kaito, and I think whatever time Amakusa and Hiromu gets, they're going to make the most of it. But just getting to wrestle on the Dome for a lot of these guys, like DDT, Dragon Gate, that would never happen on their own. So, through this show, they're able to finally get that big spot, So just being there is a win in and of itself, not necessarily having a lot of time.
For sure.
So before I get out of here, I'm going to run down some news and notes from New Japan, that we can talk about a little bit. I know you didn't see the show, but I'll tell you that you didn't miss a lot, to be honest, though, overall. Pretty good decision-making on your part. That's why I trust you, WH, because I know that you're going to do the right thing when called upon. They did a thing. We had to mention him earlier. We talked about Yujiro earlier at show. They lost their six-man titles. The never open weight titles are all gone. They are now with the team known as Strong Style. Minoru Suzuki, Desperado, and Ren Narita. Great. Overall, the match was what it was, but it was great to see Narita get a belt. I think he would have been my pick to be the TV champion, but I do think that Zach is a great person too, like overall. You know, he'll have a great title reign. I just think they told us that that was going to be a young guy's belt, and now we've got Zach and Ishii. Like, you know, what are y'all, who are y'all fooling right now with this?
Well, they, New Japan tells us a lot of things that they don't actually do, so it's okay. I'm not disappointed.
No, the match will be great. Ishii will pretend he's 20 years old if we have to. I will pretend to get more Ishii big matches. But it's basically like, okay, like this was a cool title with the 15-minute time limit. I like it a lot. It feels like the Never title is just, I mean, after this match especially, I think it's definitely gone down the tubes. And now they're trying to make the TV title somewhat worthwhile. But yeah, House of Torture and six-man titles definitely don't matter. So they've given Narita a consolation prize pretty much with this six-man titles, when he should have been the TV champion. And I mean, that's cool. These guys are all really good. I would love to see Narita and Desperado as a tag team. I think that would be like a totally great tag team if they could.
Maybe that's the purpose, is to get us to that point where they're teaming together and like, you know, Suzuki's like their coach/manager on the outside.
And he's already doing a similar style of faction in All Japan as well. Suzuki and Omori and Hokuto Omori and Naruki Doi as well.
Yeah, I mean, just combine it all. Just bring Doi over to New Japan too while you're at it.
Why not? He's a freelancer. Why not? Bring him in there. I'm all for this. Bring Omori over. I like him a lot. So. Let him have some run now that New Japan and All Japan's working together a lot more. You know, All Japan has like a New Japan guy on their show every tour now, pretty much. So they let Omori get a shot in New Japan, I would say, to show out. But then we had, I'm going to save this one. This is going to be our main event, the Loser Leaves Japan match. But we also have to talk about the Never title match. I mean, boy, this was a brisk 27 minutes of El Fantasmo and Tama Tonga. And you didn't watch?
No, you say 27 minutes of fucking those two? Get out of here. Fuck off. That's all I gotta say about that.
Yes, it has a 7.35 rating on Cage Match on there. So it's not as bad as it could have been, as some would say. But I don't know. I let's just say I don't think you need to rush out to watch this one. That's what my advice would be to anybody who didn't see it. The main event was really good. Shingo versus Okada. I think everybody already knows Shingo's a great worker, and he gets the most out of any scenario that he's in, especially in main event scenes when he's got time. They were 5 minutes longer than the semi-main event, but they definitely used their time better, in my opinion. Okada was a good overall, but ultimately he got booed in the match, because he tried to play more of a heelish type of role here, maybe to set up what was going to happen on the Noah show the next night, because this was in Osaka too.
Yeah.
This did like 4,000 fans, so double what Noah did overall. But he, like, maybe that was to set up what was going to happen the next night, him playing more of a heelish role against Shingo.
He's a smart dude. Like, it's probably, yeah, it's probably correct. Like that way of thinking is like, you know what? I'm just going to be more of a heel. I'm telling you, he's probably going to work full on heel in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, I agree. That's exactly what I think is going to happen too. He is going to be the biggest cocky asshole that we've seen, because that's how he came in. Remember?
Yeah.
When he first came in as a Rainmaker, he was, I'm rich. I've got all the athletic tools that nobody could ever have. I'm better than all of the roster. Gato would say nobody's even on his level. He was like a super egomaniacal heel, and he's bringing a little bit of that back. But now he's at a point where he doesn't need Gato screaming for him. He could do it all on his own.
That's right. Don't need Gato. And you know what? New Japan, neither do you.
Hopefully they learned the lesson that Okada learned, that they don't need him anymore. But I did think the main event is well worth watching. The Shingo and Okada match was great. That was the only great match on this show, because otherwise it was Ishimori Wato was pretty good on the undercard. That's not like a match you have to rush out to see, but I thought it was good enough. Tanahashi and Kenta was solid enough.
Did he lose his teeth?
That was really weird, because he came out without, like, what happened to his teeth? Maybe he's inspired by Kawada, right now.
Or Mark Briscoe.
That may be true as well. He's trying to get some of this gimmick over, but and the match wasn't. That was the biggest part of the match. Probably was him not having his teeth. But will he have it back? Because he's going to challenge Okada for the U.S. show next week. Will Tanahashi? Because I think we all agree that Okada is not going to lose the title in San Jose or wherever. But will Tanahashi have his teeth? That's what I need to know by then.
I mean, he'll get like some Kawada fake teeth, maybe. You know,
absolutely.
Who knows? You know, he's got the money to get like dental surgery, I'm sure, get implants, whatever he needs to do to restore that beautiful smile of his. So,
yeah. I had a tooth knocked out once, like I said, but I got it fixed, so I have a smile too. So hopefully, if I could do it, Tanahashi can.
Yes.
At the end of the day, so get it together, Tana. We need those teeth, but. They also announced that Lio Rush will challenge Hiromu for the junior title, which is going to be an awesome match. That's probably going to be the highlight of that whole show in the U.S. probably, but that's going to be cool. But what really matters most on the New Japan show, they knew that Jay White, maybe he didn't want to go to Japan as much anymore. And they looked at their roster and said, all right, we've pushed this guy to the moon despite not that great returns from the Japanese audience for years now. We know this guy, this podcast guy from Memphis. We just hate him so much, and we want to annoy him by pushing this guy so much because we know he thinks he sucks. And they said, we're going to push him for all of these years, but he's going to go now. And we are going to look at our roster. Who is going to be the man to get the rub of sending this guy packing from our company? And they said, Gato looked at himself and said, there's only one option. The one man who we know can be the next main eventer of this company. The one man who the fans need, who will make all of us happy. Even the people who didn't like Jay White are now happy and will throw their support behind Hikuleo.
Yeah. I mean, story-wise, I guess it makes sense. He was under Jay's wing for a while in the book club. He turned on him to save his brother, like they obviously had to like feel like they had big plans for Hikuleo, like
yeah.
as what, a baby face, like that, a guy that looks like that is that tall is a baby face, that won't work. And also, do I think he's gonna stay in New Japan? No, like he's gonna get an offer probably from the WWE pretty yeah. soon when his contract is up, and they're going to make him an offer, he probably likely will not refuse. Also, and I said this to you, like, you have to understand that Japan is not built for big people, right? And I mean, and especially someone that tall. I knew people who are like 6 feet tall. They had troubles with so many places to go publicly in Japan because it's not a country designed for people who are that tall. I imagine it's not that much fun for Hikuleo to walk around in public in Japan. Probably gets stared at a lot. One, he's a foreigner, but he's also a really tall foreigner. Two, he's probably got to duck his head a ton more than he does probably already in the United States or Canada or wherever else. So yeah, like I do think he's probably going to be like, hey, I can just be on in a country where they're used to like bigger people. Yeah, I think I'll go work there instead. Oh, how much are you going to pay me too? Oh, yeah, that sounds good too.
Well, New Japan said that's who we need to get this rub. And they said, by God, Hikuleo, you and Jay, you're going to get your asses out there and go 25 minutes for this match. We're not going to let you take it easy. We're going to make you prove yourself because Jay, he has a rule in his matches. 25 minutes or more. No exceptions. We don't care if you're green. We don't care if you're big. Jay determines his matches 25 minutes. Long talking promos in the middle of the match. Waste everybody's time. We need that again. We cannot let him go out without doing his match. And they put Hikuleo in there. And what a match we had out of it. 7.60 rating on Cage Match. So some people like this match.
I can't say anything about the match because I didn't watch it. So I do have a rule. I'm not going to bury something I haven't seen necessarily. So
yeah.
I'm not motivated to see
this match in general anyways, but like when I see that time, like that time, I'm like, no, I'm not devoting 27 minutes of my life that I'll never get back to watching two wrestlers who I don't really enjoy having a match. I don't care who says it's good. It's usually people who are like super New Japan fans and they don't have a grasp on reality anyway. So it's okay.
Well, back to reality. Jay's gone from Japan. I kind of, at first I thought there's no way they would waste this on Hikuleo if he's going to leave. But I did notice that they carefully said that this match was loser leave Japan, not necessarily New Japan. So it just means he could be in America. And they announced last month, they said that they're not going to do any more New Japan Strong shows. They're cutting that out. But they are going to do, they're going to do U.S. stuff, but in a different way. They're probably going to have it a new, you know, a new show or something probably for this. And I could definitely see Jay being like hanging out for a few months. They bring in this new U.S. crap and he's the face of it. Like he's the champion of whatever this new version is. There's rumors that he just didn't want to go to Japan because of his family, like his wife and stuff like that. He didn't want to spend time away. He lives in America. Which, again, I have nothing against him as a person. I really don't like his wrestling at all. I'm not interested in anywhere he goes, whether it's New Japan or AEW or WWE. I just don't think he's very good, ultimately. So I think that's going to be a big problem for me. I think his character is going to be much better, would be much better served in an American crowd than Japan, to where he could do a lot of these talking segments and do things like that. I don't think I'll ever really enjoy his wrestling unless he changes himself fundamentally, like in so many ways. But as a character, I think he definitely has a lot of upside. And I would like if I ran WWE and even AEW, I would want to have him on my roster. I just don't think he'll be able to. I feel like he'll get lost in the shuffle in AEW, and in WWE, he could have a chance to be a, you know, that guy, like a top heel in WWE.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be having 27-minute matches in WWE either. I don't think he's going to be, you know, they're probably going to tell him, like, a lot of that stuff you did in Japan, don't do it here, right? Like, the stalling, because I think probably there's other people who do the stalling stuff, like maybe Miz and fucking Seth Rollins or something like that. So they're probably going to, you do something different, okay? Stand out from these other people. And maybe, like, with a fresh start, like, I think he was given a lot of, like leeway to do what he wanted in Japan because Ghetto obviously loved him a lot. So he got to, you know, like, oh, I want to have, like, do this kind of style of wrestling. But in WWE, he's probably going to have to be forced to adapt, probably for the better, for his own style of wrestling. But yeah, like, if I'm him, I saw someone put on Twitter, like, oh, he's probably just going to be the face of Strong and just do Impact and AW Dark. But he's not actually leaving New Japan. And it's like, if I'm Jay White, I'm not doing that shit. Fuck you. If I'm getting an offer from the WWE with the potential to make, like, you know, 6-7 figures down the line, fuck you. I'm taking that. I'm taking the chances that that I can get to that level. And if I'm Jay White, I probably think I can get to that level. So I would say he's smart enough to know from his past experience of being, like, lost in the shuffle, even though he was IWGP champion, that, you know, I wasn't pushed at all, even though I was a champion of, like, the company we're doing a big pay-per-view with. I'm going to go to the WWE. There I have a much, much better chance of getting to a high level in the company.
I think, just for me personally as a fan, the minute he starts doing those counter sequences, like, based around the Blade Runner, that's like my least favorite style of wrestling. I think it's so fake and just awful. Like, awful, awful wrestling, in my opinion. If they tell him to cut all of that out entirely, and cut his stalling out and not cut promos, even though Roman Reigns does that a lot, so they're clearly a fan of that a lot, actually, in WWE. So I think that he still might yell a lot in his matches and cut promos and stuff. But if they cut out all of the countering, the do-si-do dance move counter sequences, I will like him much better if that does happen. But he also might say, look, I don't want to go on the road and do different shows every week. You know, if that's his motivation, is about family. I could see him wanting to be the face of whatever. I mean, Strong's done, so it's going to be a different show at the end of the day. if he's the face of that, I could see it. If he, if his motivation is, I want to spend more time with my family. But if it's, I want to be the biggest star I could be, then obviously WWE would be where he would go.
I think he's realistic in the sense that, like, he's going to spend more time with his family in the sense, like, hey, he's not taking 13-hour, you know, or, like, from Florida. I think he lives in Florida. Like 16, 17-hour plane rides to Japan and back. It's going to be like, okay, you know, 6 hours here and then another flight here and then driving to this town. And then, I mean, but they've cut back their house show circuit so much that he's basically doing, just going to be basically doing television. So it's like one or two shows a week. I think he'd be very fine with that. And they're paying for the plane ticket. He has to pay for his own car and food, but like he's definitely going to spend more time with his family, I think, relatively speaking.
It just depends. I think it's interesting that they said specifically that it was like they didn't say loser leaves New Japan. They said loser leaves Japan.
Yeah, because I think they want to still build this like Eddie Kingston match for Battle in the Valley.
Yeah, true.
They don't want to play their cards too quickly. I think it'd be insane to think that he's staying there unless it's part of like some big massive angle that they want to do. But why would I stay there? Like I've already been the champion like twice and I've been like placeholder champion both times. Like he's obviously a stand-in champion for Omega leaving the first time. And this time was just like he didn't do anything with the second reign. Like he did nothing. He had.
Is it possible that he's just not that passionate about wrestling? Because that's the sense I got.
I don't care because I don't think he's very good in New Japan. It's like I think he's better off, and I think they're better off without each other. I think he's done all he can. Like, what's he going to do now? Like, I think he's a very ambitious and motivated person. If he cares about wrestling, that he's fuck it. I'm not gonna stay in New Japan. I've been the champion twice here, and he's probably never getting that. He would never get that belt again, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because it's like the sense I got is him as champion was somebody who didn't really care. Like, you know, like this last title reign, like the last 6 months or so, he didn't feel like a guy who's like thinking about, I could be a big star in wrestling. I know I could be a big guy. I have my idea. I don't care.
I think if you think about like what a lot of the foreign talent had to do to get into Japan in far as like, you know, like, isolation protocols and like, you know, it was not fun. Like you just have to listen to anything Ospreay had to say about like the last 3 years of working there before they lifted the restrictions of being in quarantine. If you're traveling between countries, like I can't imagine he enjoyed any of that either.
Yeah,
I don't imagine any of them enjoyed any of that.
And we may be looking at something, you know, he takes a few months off to recharge his batteries or whatever. And he comes back, he says, you know, I've got this great idea. Because he also feels like a guy to me that feels like he's a genius in wrestling. Like he has like galaxy brain ideas in wrestling. He can build his stories and do his angles that he likes, whether it's on Twitter, whether he can mess with the media. He's done that before too about his contract. I think he's like a thinking man's type of guy. And that's kind of how he's built his character in some ways, even though I think a lot of that's very superficial. But I think he's a thinking man's type of guy. He might take a few months to recharge his batteries, get away from all of the stuff in Japan, be with his family, whatever. And he might come back and say, look, I know I could be I was the world champion 6 months ago. I could still be that level of guy just in America. You know, we might have to wait and see what he does when he comes back, too. It takes a little break for himself.
Sure. I don't care. He's still in Japan. I'm not watching his matches, so it doesn't really matter to me.
No. And me as a fan, I know he's got a lot of fans in the West, you know, that really love him a lot. But as a company, I don't think they really lose a lot. In all honesty, like in terms of Japan market, I don't get the sense that he really, I don't think he's a big loss for them, like in Japan. I just think it's a bigger loss for English-speaking fans more than anything.
Nah, they'll be okay. they'll just fall into WWE. It doesn't matter where he ends up. He's not. Yeah. It's no big business loss for New Japan anywhere, whether it's in America.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole project's a big failure anyways.
You're right. And they totally. So. I said this like 5 years ago. before AEW started, they really dropped the ball. When they had the, remember the match where they had the Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks?
Yeah.
If that was me, I would have had a plan in place that night to announce the next morning. Like that, like, new show is coming, we're running in America, like, Omega's the face of it, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. Just like, there should have been something that night that they were ready to announce. And instead, they waited 2 years, and AEW had started, and they lost a lot of fans. And I think that, like you said, ultimately, Strong was not a, it just wasn't that important to a lot of the fans, even though they have good wrestlers on there. They actually did a good job of finding a lot of hidden gems and stuff there. Like, people like Knight, who I think is a great wrestler. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens. You know, I think overall it's more the fans that of Jay White's already. And overall, you know, obviously we don't care that much just because we weren't that big of a fan of his overall. So Japan, a new age, Jay White, a new age. What's Noah going to be like after the Muto show? Who knows? But we will find out. But with that said, WH, thank you so much for coming on to the Eastern Lariat. I was really happy to talk to you again. It's been too long, man. It really has.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, definitely, you know, sometime this year, just you have to make a return to the long and winding Royal Road of wrestling.
Count me in, WH. I would love to talk about it. I love all of the Royal Road, all of All Japan, and all of talking to you as well. And I love all of post wrestling. Like I said, I love everybody on there. So, you got anything coming up you want to hype up before you get on out of here?
Yeah, we're going to be dropping a new episode for February, sometime probably after this show drops. I don't know when you're releasing this one, but I'm talking with John Cena from Shot in the Dark. And we're talking Rob Van Dam versus Dan Crawford for the All Japan Junior Heavyweight World Championship from June 9th, 1995. Yes, it's the other match from that legendary show from Budokan Hall. And yeah, we're going to have the return of MCU later with me and Wei Ting, because we're going to talk about Ant-Man and Wasp, the Quantum Mania. Very excited to be returning to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Wei. And yeah, just ton of stuff coming up for post wrestling, talking about Japanese wrestling primarily, some Marvel Cinematic Universe as well over there. But yeah, I haven't done a show with John Pollock in a long time. I think we're probably due for one soon. So keep your ears out for that. If you like hearing me and John talk about things about wrestling, that's probably going to be coming sooner rather than later. But beyond that, yeah, just, you know, www.postwrestling.com. Get the new Five Pillars t-shirt we released a couple of months ago. It's been a big hit for us. And if you love Jun Akiyama, he's on that shirt as well now.
Give Akiyama his props and his respect. I love that. Yeah, give him as the unofficial fourth pillar. Now we've got the Five Pillars. So everybody check that out. Love Post Wrestling. I'm a big fan of their side, just as a fan. Everybody on their way, John. Everybody going on there, John Cena as well. We'll listen to all of your stuff going on. Can't wait for that MCU later, too. I'm going to see Ant-Man next week, probably. Hopefully it's a good movie. Hopefully you have a lot to say, and hopefully everyone's entertained listening to it, just like they were entertained listening to this. But everybody out there, I want to shout everybody out who follows us on Twitter, at Eastern Lariat. Please follow us. Check everything out going on there. There's some big news coming on the next episode, but Striga, he is going to be back, and we cannot wait to talk about the Muto Dome show. And hopefully you guys enjoy that. Enjoy everything going on. And until next time, you know I love you. Sayonara.
This is Dave and Nick. Listen to the bid. Bring a body how talking yo, what a red red. Bring a body how what it. We'll be right back.
評論は俺を離婚なんてもう嫌だ。